Thank you. Oh, I feel much better now. Oh, it's VBS week. You can't, come to VBS and tie and button up shirts and all that kind of stuff. No, I'm excited. Are you excited? I mean, it's VBS week. It's here. It's finally here, and I'm excited. We need to pray. Father God, I thank you so much for this morning. And Father, I thank you for this week that's ahead of us. And Lord, as we look at your word this morning, as we see what it is that, Jesus, when we see who it is that these kids are going to encounter this week. Father God, Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity that you give us to do this. And that, Father, we pray right now that, Lord, that this week would be a week that touches lives in ways, Lord, that, Lord, we can't even fathom. And Father, I'm praying for, I know there's a little boy and there's a little girl that are going to be coming. I know there is that, Lord, they don't know you. And I'm praying, Lord, that we do everything that you can enable us to do to show them who you are, what you've done, or that by loving them, that they would see your love. Father, we do thank you so much, for this morning, and we give it all to you, in your son's name and only his name. Amen. So we've been going through VBS and going through the different stories. We did Monday, which was a couple weeks back now, 3 weeks back, right? And that's, turn that on. And that's creation, and we learn that God made you. And the idea that you are handcrafted by the creator of the universe, and how special you are. In all of creation, you're the only thing, the only one who can say, God handcrafted me. Everything else was spoken, but you were handmade, and we'll be teaching the kids that. Day one, they'll come out of the gate learning God loves you so much that he made you. And then we move on to, we did the story of Elijah and the prophets Baal. And in that story, we learn that as Elijah prays, and he prays, God hears those prayers. And in hearing those prayers, we know that God listens to you.
Thank you, God!
Thanks. I saw her come up, and I go, what? No, and... And so then last week we went through one of my favorite stories, and that's Jonah. And in Jonah, we see a man who's reluctant to do what God has called him to do. And yet, despite his reluctance, God's work still happens, that God still does what he wants to do. And no matter how far you think you've gone away from God, that we learn that God watches over you.
Thank you, God!
For those who are like, what? me too. No, every week, these Bible points, when they get to their Bible point, anytime they hear those words, that's going to be the response from the kids. So, you know, if I say, God watches over you, that's what they get. So, but I love these stories, and I love these, but I really love Thursday's story. We get to Thursday's story, and that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. The Thursday story, I mean, all these other stories are great, wonderful, incredible. But Thursday story is the greatest story of them all. And what we're going to be looking at is the resurrection on Thursday. And so with the resurrection and the death of Christ and the empty tomb and what we learn in the story of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, that they'll walk through, and we'll walk through a little bit of that this morning. We see that Jesus, he dies for us, but it doesn't stop there. He comes back to life. And again, something that only he can do. And their memory verse coming again out of Psalm 139, lead me along the path of everlasting life. And that's what we're really hoping for with these kids, that they realize that there's more to life than what TV tells them. There's more to life than what most people around them are telling them. It's not about just grow up and get a good job and retire someday, but there's an everlasting life, an everlasting path before them. And that's found in Jesus Christ. And then we learn that God loves you no matter what.
Thank you, God!
And what's incredible is that as we do walk through this story and we get to that point, God loves you no matter what, where this story starts in Luke, and we're not going to go through the entire arcing story. We'll hit on pieces of it. But in VBS, they will hear the whole story. And the story starts out with Jesus gathering with his disciples. And as he's there, he has some bad news. He lets children can be dismissed for children's church. That's not the bad news. Children can be dismissed for children's church. But no, he has some bad news, some disheartening news, if you will. He looks at one of his disciples, Peter. And if you were with us months ago here, we went through 1 Peter, and shortly we'll be going back into 2 Peter after VBS is concluded. But he turns to Peter and says, Peter, you're going to deny me. I mean, you've been with me all this time, but you're going to deny me. And this is where the story that the kids are going to be hearing on Thursday, this is where it starts, with Peter being told this. And then sure enough, we go to the garden. And at the garden, Jesus prays, if there's any other way, but I know it's all about your will. And then Peter does it. He denies him 3 times. And it's, for me, the most heartbreaking moment in all of Scripture, to see the man who loves Jesus so much and walks with Jesus, got out of a boat and walked on water for Jesus, all of a sudden go from yes, Lord, to I don't know that man. And through that whole entire story, the kids learn, you know what? God still loved Peter. No matter what you think you've done, no matter how far you think you've gone, no matter how bad you think things are, understand this, that God loves you no matter what. He loved you before you were even created. That's how much he loves you. And then we go through, of course, in the story, we see him go through the various courts. He goes to Pilate, then he goes to Herod, then he goes back to Pilate again, and he's just tossed all around because nobody wants to be the one to do anything. Nobody wants to be the one to sentence this man who doesn't deserve this to death. And we see him go to the cross. We see him go to Golgotha, to Calvary, and he's carrying his cross, and he's there. And if anything, the story could just stop there. Jesus dies on the cross. It's enough. It's sufficient. But it doesn't stop there. It's the beautiful thing about it. It doesn't stop there. Where does it stop? It stops, or maybe I should say it really begins, at an empty tomb. And that's the beauty of the this Easter story. In fact, I want to share with you this coming out of the end of that passage there that they'll be looking at in Luke 24. It says, but on the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found a stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed, I love that, they were perplexed, confused, they didn't understand about this. Behold, 2 men stood by them in dazzling apparel, and as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? I know you're looking for him. He told you what's going to happen, and here you are in the middle of a cemetery. This is the wrong place. He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the 3rd day rise. And they remembered these words, and returning to the tomb, they told all these things to the 11, to all the rest. That's Peter included there. And now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women and them. They told these things to the apostles, but these words seemed to them an idle tale. We looked at creation. People think, oh, that whole creation thing, that's just an idle tale. And then we moved on to Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Oh, that's just a tale, right? It's just something you tell little Jewish boys and girls so they go to bed at night. And Jonah, I mean, come on, a man, a fish, really? It's just got to be a tail, right? No, and here they're same thing. He's not there. And they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in, and he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Oh, that he marveling at what had happened. I mean, you have to be thinking, what's going through Peter's mind at that moment? He's not there. Where is he? Did it really happen? Is he back? And sitting at home, I'm not sure why Peter's sitting at home. Why did Peter go back to the upper room? I one would think maybe he would be searching high and low. Or perhaps he's remembering what just happened just a few days ago when he denied him three times. Peter's not realizing that God still loves him. This is an amazing thing. And if you've been around here long enough, been around me long enough, you know something. I love this story. I love Easter. I love knowing that for everybody, at any given moment, Easter is coming. And this is an amazing story, and there's an amazement of the empty tomb. And we need to understand something. When it all comes down to it, without an empty tomb, all of this, this building, this jungle, the VBS, worship, all of it, pointless. Without an empty tomb, what are we even doing? What are we even trying? Going to church, there's no real point in going to church if there is no empty tomb. Paul puts it this way. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some say that there is no resurrection of the dead? I love how Paul puts this because he's constantly repeating himself through this whole verse. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. So it's pretty simple. If there's no resurrection, then you can't say Jesus rose from the grave. Okay, got that, Paul. Where are you going with this? Verse 14. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and our faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God. Because if Jesus didn't raise, he's not God. And if he's not God, he's not worth talking about. He was just some false prophet, false teacher, who died the way he should have died and stayed dead. But that's not our Lord. It's because we have testified about God that he raised Christ, and whom he did not raise, if it's true that the dead are not raised. So in other words, if Jesus didn't raise, then there's no hope for anybody, really. And so he goes on, he says, but for if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. There's been no payment. There's been nothing. You're still living in your filth. Then those who are fallen asleep in Christ have perished. There's no hope. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are all people most to be pitied. I mean, if you're following a dead God, not going anywhere, is what Paul's saying. He doesn't stop there. Verse 20, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. I love that. The fact is, he has been raised from the dead. And that's why we're here. And that's why we do things like VBS. And it's why we want to reach out, because this story is so incredible, it cannot be contained in these walls. It must go forth. It must be told over and over and over. And there is never a point in time when the story can't be told or shouldn't be told. The story should be the last thing on our last breath. It's so incredible. Now, the thing I love about this VBS this time around, and every VBS is a little bit different. The stories are different. Quite often with VBS, you get a lot of Peter and Paul stories, and those are great. But this particular time around, and I think I've shared this with you already, but you know, 4 out of 5 stories are from the Old Testament. And I love that because you know, we lose the Old Testament, and then the Old Testament becomes a book of idle tales in so many ways in our minds, and it's not. These are things that happened. These are people that were, and these are people that I'm looking forward to meeting. And so we see, though, in this Old Testament stories, though, as we walk through them, the amazing thing is that we see God doing all these things. And then we get to this story about Jesus, and suddenly there's this little, light switch. Something just clicks. And all of a sudden you realize, oh, that God that we've been talking about, that's Jesus. That's who he is. And all these stories, then they all point towards this Christ, this Savior. I love that. I love the moment when somebody realizes when we're talking about Jesus, we're not just talking about some guy, and we're not just talking about some friend of mine. There's something much more going on. There's this this story with Jesus that they're on a boat with the disciples. He's on a boat with the disciples, and this, you know, they're on boats a lot, but in this particular story, the sea starts getting rough. And the funny thing is during this whole entire thing, while the sea's getting rough and all the disciples are getting really worried, Jesus is taking a nap. I think I've heard a story like that before. Have you heard a story like that before about a guy in a big storm in a boat, people panicking, and a guy sleeping in the belly of the boat? Oh yeah, that was Jonah. See, there's a similarity there, but there's a big difference there. See, in Jonah knew where the storm was coming from. Jesus, he knew where the storm was coming from. Jonah's response to get rid of the storm, throw me over. And Jesus' response, why did you wake me? Okay, guys, just chill for a second. And he says, be still. And it all goes calm. Nobody's thrown overboard. He didn't look at Peter and said, yep, your turn. No, it just goes still. And it's an amazing moment. It's a moment that if you're not paying attention, you'll lose the incredible thing that's happening here. Because just like in the story of Jonah, and now here we have another story of waves and distress, and the disciples are worried of what's going on here and how can we stop this. And the answer sitting in their boat. And they wake Jesus, and he's not worried about it. Why? Because he's in control of it. And then he says this, and it says, they were filled with great fear. This is after he calms it. And they said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and sea obey him? We go back to creation. And what do we hear? We hear that God said, and there it was. The sea obeys him. The land obeys him. The animals obey him. Everything is put in its place. And we go over to Elijah and the story there, and Elijah says, consume this to prove who you are to these people. God does that. Jonah, God controlled, well, he controlled the waves. He controls a great fish. Later on, he controls a plant and then even a worm all along the way. And here's Jesus who says, be still. And the disciples who have been with him for a little bit now, they're all looking and going, wait a minute, he just did that. And they're connecting these dots to all the stories that they know. They had a good idea that this is a good guy, he's a good teacher, and there's a really good chance that he might just be. But now all suspicions are pointing towards, yep, he is. And that's what happens in VBS as they go through these stories and we get to this point. We remember that God loves us so much that he sent his son who is Jesus, who is God. And we go back again. Let's just do it. Go back to the beginning, because you always need to go back to the beginning. It says, in the beginning, there he was. He was hovering over the waters. And we see it in Genesis. And then they get to this point where he goes to make man. Nothing else, just man. He gets to that point and he says, let us make man in our image. Who's this us? He's not talking to the angels. The angels had nothing to do with your creation. He's not talking to the stars or anything else. He's not talking to the cows. He's talking to Father, Son, Spirit, this triune God. Let us make him in our image. And then we go over to John 1, and we see it again. In the beginning was what? The Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That Word, it's Jesus. This is who this is. And so these kids are going to encounter this story, the story of this resurrected Christ, the story of a God who loves them so much that he would send his only son to die, but not just to die, but to rise. And they'll experience this story on Thursday. So if you would allow me, I would say that this Thursday, Easter is coming. I like that. I like getting saved on a Thursday. I got saved on a Thursday. There was no planning in that, just to let you know. Well, maybe God did have a plan, so I could say that. No, I got saved on a Thursday, and it went like this. It's very similar to a VBS story. I mean, and I've shared my testimony. I went to Camp Tadmore. I went thinking I was saved. There's going to be some kids who are going to come through those doors thinking they're Christian because, you know, somebody in their family is, or they've gone to church a couple of times, and I guess that's what a Christian is. And that's where I was when I went to camp. I thought I was saved because I was going to church. I was singing the songs. That must be what I am because that's what they all are. And I got to camp. In fact, I was just up at Tadmore yesterday, and we had this big 40th anniversary. It was an incredible time seeing some old friends. And I get up there, and I just, you know, the whole flood of what God did in my life. But that first encounter, you know, I get there, and I realize something's not connected. Something's not right with me. There's something I'm missing out on. And it was on Thursday on that fishing dock that my counselor came out and he shared with me what I was missing. I was missing Jesus. I was missing a relationship with God. That's what I was missing. And so on a Thursday, I came to know Christ on a fishing dock. This week at VBS on Thursday, the kids are going to hear the story of the empty tomb. Now for some kids are going to come and they're going to connect with these stories right away. They're going to get it. I mean, whether they've been in church or not, they're going to come and all of a sudden they're going to go, wait a minute, you're saying God made me? And that's going to be enough for them. That's going to be so special that you don't even need to tell me the rest right now. I'm in. I want to know this God who made me. But there's going to be some other kids who are going to come and it's going to take a little bit more. They're going to need a little bit more. They're going to need some more stories. They're going to need us to prove to them that we love them before they believe in a God who they can't see that we're trying to say loves them. And they're going to be testing those waters all week long. But I have a feeling by Thursday it's going to make sense. By Thursday it's going to connect. Maybe it'll take Friday, and I'm okay with that. I have a feeling Thursday is going to be a day that it's going to be pretty special. And see, that's the gospel. We know the gospel. When you hear the word gospel, gospel means it's good news, right? And it's the good news. It's the truth of who Jesus Christ is. That's the gospel. The gospel is that moment when everything connects, when you go from darkness to light, when you go from don't get it, I don't understand it, I don't even want it, to I can't help but run to it. That's the moment of the gospel. That's when it takes place. It's what happened for me at Tadmore on that dock. It's when the impossible becomes possible. It's when stories like the creation account aren't so far-fetched. And when some guy prays over a big wet dead bull on a big altar, and suddenly a consuming fire takes it. It's talking about a guy and a big fish. These things that are impossible, they become possible. It's when suddenly you realize there is a God and he loves me, and that this God could love me. It's the impossible becoming possible. So I have a question for you. We're going to get to this point of VBS, and we're sharing the gospel every day. I mean, if a kid comes on Monday and says, I want to accept Jesus, we're not going to say, wait till Thursday. Uh-uh. We're stopping right there. Whatever we're doing, it's let's do this. But you know, can I ask you, when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to communicating the gospel, and as we're going to take this week and dedicate it to communicating the gospel to these kids, and understand that we only do the gospel for kids on July 11th through the 15th. Understand the gospel for the kids is it's year-round, right? And we have things like Children's Church that help out with that, things like Awana that help out with that, lots of different avenues where we have those opportunities. But what about those times when you have to make it yourself, when you have to, it's your turn now to present the gospel? No program built around it. You're not bringing everybody in for a big show and then hopefully get an opportunity, but you're just now faced. And I'm not even talking about little kids. I'm talking about you are sitting down with your neighbor. You are sitting down with your coworker at lunch, and suddenly you realize, you hear it, you know it. God's saying, it's time. And I want to just ask you a simple question. Can you present the gospel? Do you know how to present the gospel in a way that it won't confuse them, in a way that it won't scare them? I mean, when I was presented with going to heaven, quite frankly, I think there are probably some people who would have got a little scared by the response, because I'm sitting on a fishing dock, my counselor comes out, and he realizes I love fishing. So he's going to connect the dots with me and fishing in this story, and it worked. But you can only imagine if somebody wasn't in that situation, but this is how it went. He comes and he sits down and he's talking with me, and he says, Mike, suppose a big fish grabs your line. And that's what I'm like, that's what I'm hoping for. And he goes, no, but this fish pulls you in and you drown. And now I'm sitting on the dock with my counselor, and he's talking about me going in and drowning. And I'm like, okay. And he says, you drown and you go to heaven and you're at the gates, and they ask you, why should we let you in? What's your answer? And as I've shared before, I had no answer. My mind went completely blank. I couldn't even come up with one single good thing to try to throw out there. I knew I had absolutely nothing. No reason. And then he asked me, do you want one? And that's when he shared with me this relationship with Jesus Christ and what that means. But you can imagine, though, if somebody comes up to you on a fishing dock and asks you, about dying and drowning, and, it could get kind of scary. What are you saying here? What are we doing? And next thing you know, maybe you're in the water. In fact, I had a moment such as that as a counselor. I was in a canoe, and I had a kid, and we were talking, and I thought I'd give him the same speech. What if we, and he's, oh, that's not going to happen. And he was just kind of, that's not going to happen. Junior high boy. That's not going to happen. We're not going to fall in. I go, no, we'll just pretend. He's like, all right. And it's like, okay, this kid has no imagination. And I tipped the canoe. And we had life jackets on. But I tipped the canoe, and he's like, what are you doing to me? And, We laughed about it later, but at that time, I wasn't trying to scare him into salvation or anything. But, sometimes when we approach somebody with the gospel, it can be scary. It can be scary for us, and it can be scary for them. And so I asked, how do you present it? There's a ton of ways. There's incredible tools out there. Maybe you're one of those, I knew a guy back in Roseburg, and he always had a track in his pocket for spiritual laws. And he didn't even need it. He had that thing memorized, but he was ready anytime. And he bought these, in boxes, because he was constantly using them, constantly sharing them. And that was something that he did. There's a lot of different tools. I want to share with you a couple of tools here. The first one, and I think I've shared this with you guys before, but it's always good to review, but this is Romans Road. Did you know you can actually share the gospel out of one book? Some people think, I got to memorize the entire Bible. No. How about the whole entire New Testament? No. What about all four gospels? No. You know what? You can actually get it all out of Romans, and I'm just going to walk it through with you, okay? So we start with Romans 3:10. Understand, it's not a straight line. No road is straight, right? We always have the curves. So 3:10, though, it says, as is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. And so we declare that. We right away, we say, there's no one righteous. Not you, not me. Okay, that's pretty simple. Okay, and most people can agree with that, I think. No righteous, okay. Verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Well, see, now we got into a scary word, sinned. Sin, oh, you're going to start telling me I'm a sinner. Yeah, I am. But guess what? So am I. We've all sinned. And we all fall short. That's what it is. In order to reach God, we fall short. 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, so what is it? There's wages involved, but when it comes down to it, sin's payment is death. Even our best things don't mount up to much. Then there's this wonderful word in the middle of there, but. The gift is free. That's no strings attached. But the gift of God is eternal life. And where does that come from? Well, it comes from Jesus. Then we back up a little bit. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, the reality is we're all sinners. We've recognized that. We notice that. We're not righteous. We're all sinners. We're all in the same boat, if you will. And you know what? Despite that, God loves us so much that he would send his son to die for us. Still, you and your sin have not scared God away. I think there are some people who think that their sin is so bad they've scared God away. Mm-mm. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and that you are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There's no magic prayer when it comes to receiving Christ. There's no magic prayer that you have to say, and if you blow one word, sorry, you're out of the club. It doesn't work that way. It's very simple. It's a two-part process. And it couldn't be any simpler. Believe it. And when you really believe something, you believe it in your heart. It's not head knowledge. Don't think you know Jesus is Lord. Believe it. It's in your heart. It's not a gut feeling. That's the burrito you ate last night. No, it's in the heart. And so you believe this in your heart. And when you believe something, you proclaim it. And when you believe something, think about a marriage ceremony. Is the whole ceremony supposed to be the man and the woman out there completely silent? Uh-uh. They believe they're supposed to be together. That's in their heart. And then they confess it with vows and I do's. That's what you do with God. You believe it in your heart. Confess it. It's not made to be kept inside. It's not made to be secret. There is no secret relationship with Jesus. That doesn't work. It's not what Jesus is looking for. He doesn't want you to be all secretive with him. He wants you to be proclaiming it from the rooftops. He wants you running down the street, saying it over and over and over. Therefore, we have been justified through faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified through our faith. It's because you believe. It's because you believe that, you know, all that stuff that we just talked about, sin, yeah, you're still a sinner. But you know what? It's paid for. All those things that keep you distant from God, they've been covered. And they've been covered through Jesus. Not because of a magic prayer, not because you did it at VBS, and it's not because you did it in a church. It could be done down by the river. It could be done at the work lunchroom. There's no special place. There's no holy ground for that moment. But that we're justified. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's nothing to be held against you anymore. That moment on the dock, why should they let you in? I had no reason. That's my reason now. My reason is Jesus Christ. And this is demonstrating, you know, how God is doing, what he's doing. He says, this is how he concludes it. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything. In case you don't get it, there's nothing in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God loves you so much. The theme to VBS is God is wild about you. He is so wild about you that there is nothing that can separate you. There is no sin so great that can separate you. There is no person. There is no spiritual force. Oh, the devil might be whispering in your ear, and as C.S. Lewis puts it, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. Sure, he can be at work, but you know what? He cannot separate you from the love of God. Now, the next one that I want to share with you is the bridge illustration. I've got a couple guys that are going to help me. Stage is really crowded, so I'm gonna come down there. And this one, if all that Roman stuff was just like way too difficult for you, it's like that's a lot of verses. And you went from 3 to 5 and then to 10 and then back to 5. And that's too much, Mike. Maybe the better way, and I'm hoping everybody can see this. This is simple. I've got bigger markers this time compared to my last time I went all Glenn Beck on you. But the bridge illustration is simple, and if you've got a scrap of paper and a pencil with you, then you can present the gospel to anybody, and you only need one verse that comes out of those Romans verses, Romans 6:23, and that one is really simple. For the wages, I don't expect you to read my handwriting, but that's okay. The wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is what? I'm losing my paper. Eternal life in, who's it in? Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so the bridge illustration, it starts with something very simple. You say that, you know what? It's kind of like that we, that's us, we live on this cliff. And we're always on the edge of this cliff. And on the other side of this cliff, it's just death. Okay, it's nothing. But then over here, there's another cliff. And God's on this other cliff. And so it's a real simple question. How do we get from here to here? And you ask a person that. You say, well, how do you suppose you get from here to here? And they say, I will jump. And not even if you are an Olympic athlete, you're not jumping that far. It's just too far. And so you try to jump, you're gonna go down. You're gonna splat. It's gonna be all Wile E. Coyote for you. Okay. And so there's no jumping. They say, well, what if I try to build a bridge? Well, anybody who's ever seen a suspension bridge, you don't start out the suspension bridge from one side and hope that it makes it to the other side. No, it gets to a certain point. You got to come from both sides. Otherwise, you're falling in. And so you don't have enough good stuff. You take everything that's good in your life, try to make a bridge, you're still not going to get, well, okay, I'll just get it far enough so I can get a running start at it. You just get a running start at death is all you're getting. It's not going to make it. This chasm is too big. And for what it's worth, we can just throw this one out. Take all your good stuff and throw it in the pit, thinking maybe it'll fill it up. It'll never fill it up. You can't get there from there. And why? Because it's real simple. For the wages of sin is death. See, we get that word wages. Wages to me, I don't know what about you, but it conjures up the idea of earning, right? You earn your wages and even all the good stuff, it just doesn't earn your way. It doesn't. And so what's happening over here is we have these wages, which are sin, which equal death. That's the cliff we're standing on. There's nothing that you can do to earn it. It's not going to happen. But then we have this wonderful word, but there's this gift. And we find that it's in Jesus Christ. What we need is we need a bridge. It's pretty simple. And the bridge kind of looks something like this. It's Jesus on that cross. And that's what the whole point of the cross is that we can't make it over there. But because of Christ's work on the cross, we suddenly have a bridge. And in some translations, it says in Jesus Christ, and some of them says through Jesus. That's how we get over there. It's that simple. You didn't have to memorize a million scriptures, although I highly recommend that you memorize as much as you possibly can. But if you're like me and it's a little bit of a challenge, start out with one. We're sinners. Sin only produces death. That's it. But there's a gift. A gift is free. The gift is the bridge. The gift is what gets us to God. And it's not just a matter of how do I escape this world and get to heaven. No, it's in Jesus Christ. It's in relationship with Jesus Christ. It's through Jesus. It's knowing Jesus and Jesus knowing you. And we have this bridge. We can go ahead and move that back over there. But the idea is simple. We can present the gospel, and we need to present the gospel at every given moment that we can. And whether it's something as lengthy as the Romans Road, or it's just simply sitting down and saying, so what do you think about Jesus? And having a conversation and seeing where that conversation starts to go. And then you sit down on your napkin and you doodle a little chasm and say, well, let's just say that you're here and God's over there. How do you think you'll get there? And you have that conversation. And finally you come to that conclusion. There's something more to it. The gospel is such a beautiful story, yet we're so afraid to share it sometimes. But it's a beautiful story, and it's a beautiful story that it follows just a simple little pattern. I don't know if you know this. And if you were in the small group, this gets brought up in the last chapter, but you can read that. But it's pretty simple what the gospel is really about. It starts with creation. And in creation, everything was perfect. Everything was exactly the way it was supposed to be. But then comes the fall. And in the fall, we know that Adam and Eve, they decide to rebel against God. They chose to do the opposite of what he told them. And so suddenly this thing that is perfect has been tainted. And then we get into redemption, that God would send his only son, that whoever might believe would have eternal life. That from that fall, that we would be redeemed. And because we are redeemed, then we find ourselves restored. We find ourselves restored because there is an empty tomb. And that empty tomb is saying, God has fulfilled his promise. It's more than he just died for you. Now he lives for you. He lives with you. And if we take a look at these same things with VBS. So in VBS, we start on Monday with creation. And we learn that things were made exactly the way they were supposed to be made. And things were perfect. This is the way it was meant to be. And then when we get to the fall, well, we have this story about Elijah, right? And all around Elijah, one person, and 450 prophets of Baal, and 400 prophets of Asherah, and you got all these different prophets, and you got all this stuff going on, and these are all people who have what? They've chosen to follow themselves. They've chosen to worship other gods. It's a product of the fall. It's a lifestyle that is not God's. And we see that through that story. And then we get to the story of Jonah. And Jonah, very similar to Jesus in the sense that he is sent with a message. The difference is Jonah can't make the message happen. Jesus does. That message is the same for Nineveh as it is for us. Repent. Turn. Or there's just destruction. And so just like we see Nineveh is redeemed through Jesus Christ, we are redeemed. And then we get to that wonderful empty tomb story on Thursday. And we realize that Jesus, well, he is God. The price has been paid. The empty tomb is God's way of saying, welcome home. And I would ask this morning as we start to wrap up here is, where are you? Where are you today in all of this? I know you're not in creation because things aren't perfect. If you've got the perfect life, please let me know because I need to figure that one out. But are you living in the fall? I mean, literally, like I don't have all this other hope stuff that you're talking about. Or maybe you're in that redemption, but you know, your relationship with God hasn't gone anywhere. And it's time to really be restored with God. There's that old picture. In fact, this is not the old picture. This is one of my favorite pictures of this idea, but that we all have a God-sized hole in us. And if you notice, if you look close enough with the picture there, it's from an artist that I met. His hole is shaped like a dove, you know. And we got all those basic shapes right next to it. And we have this hole, and we try to fill the hole, right? You know the picture? We try to fill it. And so you can try to fill it with the triangle and the square and the circle, but the reality is it's a very unique shaped hole. It's not just a matter of it being a huge hole, but it is designed for one thing and one thing only, and that's for God. And we try to fill that hole, right? We try to fill it with everything. We try to fill it, maybe we try to fill it with good stuff. It's with family, and it's with our kids, and it's with having a fun time on the weekend, and it's all these things, but then things just kind of deflate somewhere, or something bad happens, and you ask, what went wrong? Or maybe you try to go the other way. You start filling it with bad stuff, you know? We're doing the Prodigal God book there, right? And we know that parable, the lost son, and he goes off and he tries to fill his whole entire life with all sorts of stuff, and it empties out pretty quickly. Nothing satisfies. It just stays a hole. And so we ask that, what are you trying to fill your life with? The other thing that I think of when I think about filling that hole or looking towards Jesus, I believe that today that the world, and this is true for the world, I think, since the fall. But I believe that especially today, the world is looking for, I think the world's looking for a hero. I really do. In fact, I don't think that you have to go much further than looking at the listings at the local movie theater right now. Right? Three of the biggest blockbusters, or flops, depending on how you look at it. And you understand, I'm a huge comic book fan. You know, and so in the movie theaters, you got the X-Men. They opened up the summer. Right, and then Green Lantern came out, and now just around the corner is Captain America. I mean, you can't get more superhero than these kind of guys, right? And people will go to these movies. Why? Because we like that story about a hero that comes and saves the day. think about the icon, if you will, of superheroes, Superman. A little couple things for you real quick. Superman was created in 1932. And I'm not sure if you knew this, but the creator of Superman, creator is the writer and creator of him. They were a pair of guys, Jewish guys, okay? And in their Jewish faith, and they named Superman. Does anybody know Superman's real name? It's Kal-El. Okay, and that should sound familiar to you. The word El, it's hyphenated in there. And the word El, that means God. In fact, anytime you have something of God, it's El in Hebrew. And so Kal-El actually sounds very similar to another word that sounds like the voice of God. And you look at the picture of Superman, okay, that he comes from a distant planet, right? So a distant place. And he's the last son, the only son, you know, of Jal-El, and he is sent to Earth, and he's sent with a mission: save and protect this planet. That's not a coincidence. These two guys, these Jewish writers, they're looking for a hero. They wanted to present a hero. The world's looking for heroes. The Hebrew people were constantly looking for Hebrews. We got Moses, and they thought he was going to be the one. And then we get to the book of Judges, and there's a bunch of heroes, guys that we're looking for somebody who's going to come in and save the day. Can I tell you that today, right now, in Scio, Oregon, there are kids out there looking for heroes. We're just hardwired that way. Deep in our hearts, we have to believe that someone will come and save the day. But can I share with you this morning that Jesus didn't come to save the day. He came to save us. He came to save you and me. It's not a temporary save. It's something much bigger. It's something much, much more huge. And because of that, we need to tell others. We need to tell others that it's not some fictional character named Jesus who came along and did some good stuff, but that God did this. And he has this desire for a restored relationship. Jesus, in many of his travels, he ends up in Samaria. And no good Jew goes to Samaria, because the Samaritans, they weren't worth the time, at least according to other Jewish people. So they would go around Samaria. But he ends up in Samaria. And you know the story of the woman at the well. Okay, so we know that story. He's sitting there at the well. And so Jesus is doing two wrongs, okay? Number one, he went through Samaria. And number two, he's talking to a woman. And not only is it a woman, but it's kind of a loose woman. She's been married several times, and now she's just living with a guy. And so it's like Jesus in all the wrong places. Or is he? No, he's exactly where he needs to be. But the disciples, they're not so sure about that one. So after Jesus talks with this woman and she goes off going, could this be the Messiah? Is this really him? And so the disciples come along, and it says, meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. I love that. It's like they come. Jesus sent them off for food. And they come back and he's talking with this woman. They're like, eat. In other words, Rabbi, please stop talking to the woman. Stop embarrassing us. Come now. And this is not good. They're trying to get him out of a sticky situation. It says, but he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, because they take things so literal, has anyone brought him something to eat? Wait, he just sent us for food. Now he's saying he already had food. What's the deal here? It says, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Are there yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see the fields are white for harvest. Already the ones who reap is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. And what we start to get in this picture, what Jesus is saying, he's not talking about real food. Because so often when Jesus starts talking, you have to go, wait a minute, No, not food. He's not talking about food. No, he's talking about doing the will of God. There's something so satisfying about serving God, being in his will. We know, we hear those words that man does not live by bread alone. It's because there's something so enriching about serving God. And here he is. He's like, he's going to turn this whole entire thing into a big scenario for them. He's like, would you just look around you? The whole field's white with harvest. I mean, this is Samaria. We don't come here. This isn't the place that we do not speak of. And here we are, and these are the people we don't talk about. But here they are, and they're looking for a Savior. The woman at the well is looking for a Savior to the point where after one conversation with Jesus, she's like, could this be? They're looking. The world is looking. The places where we have written off, like Samaria, they're looking. We can see it all around us right now. Right now, you got the whole hay season thing happening, right? And you can see the fields, and you know the fields are getting ready. Some are past their time. Some are just on the cusp of it. And it's happening right here spiritually, that there are people, there will be kids walking through that door on Monday, and they are white with harvest because somewhere those seeds have been planted. And God's given us the opportunity now to join in that labor. We'll be seeing it this week. Maybe tomorrow, maybe Thursday. Maybe we're seeing it right here, right now, today. Can I share with you, you don't need to wait till Thursday. You don't need to come to VBS on Thursday to get this squared away. I want you to know that it's right here, it's right now, it's today. It's every day. Do you know that if right now, if you don't have a relationship with Christ and you're hearing this, do you understand something? That there is somebody, you're not here by accident. There is somebody who's been praying for you. There's been somebody who's been planting little seeds, and they're hoping one day something's going to sprout. Maybe today's that day for you. You don't need to wait to Thursday to respond. And can I tell you, for those who are here, you don't need to wait for that Thursday to come along to share with whomever you need to share with. You're waiting for that perfect time. Can I tell you something? Anybody knows this. There's no such thing as a perfect time. There's God's time, which I guess is perfect. But it's not our perfect time. We can't make that time happen. I think any time that I've ever shared the gospel where I've seen true, true response, it was never arranged. Not by me, at least. You don't need to wait till the Thursday to come along to tell somebody the story. Every day is the right day. Every day it's white with harvest. And I'm just going to close with that. And if you want to talk more about that, I would love to talk to you about that. I am going to do something else, though, and we're going to kind of transition two ways here. I want those who are helping out with VBS, maybe you're a crew leader, maybe you're running the crafts, or you're doing registration, or there's no small job, right? They're all monsters and the jobs, that is, not the people. But if you're helping out with VBS, it's not to embarrass you, it's to encourage you. I'd like for you to do two things. First, stand up, if you would, please. I know you're there. I see even some shirts happening. Okay, and now what I'm going to ask you, this is going to be the embarrassing part. I'm going to ask you to move to the middle, just right there. And as they're doing that, what I would invite those who are, in on the sides, and if you're on the farther sides, you feel free to move in, but you're gonna be stuck together for a whole week. Come on, you just get together there. And what I want to do is I want to pray, and I would ask that you would join me in prayer for them. Understand that, if you will, this is a commissioning. I mean, this is, understand that wherever you go, whatever it is that you do, you are on mission. If you are in love with Jesus Christ, you are on mission. That mission is simply to share his love and to explain or express or share the gospel. And it doesn't have to happen just on VBS, but oh, we're excited about this week. And so it doesn't matter where you go. You're being sent, and this group is being sent, and I want to pray for them right now. So if you everybody would just join me in prayer. Father God, we do thank you so much for this group. We thank you so much, Lord, that you have called them to respond in the way that they have from VBS. And Father, right now I'm just praying that you would give them a special kind of energy, Lord, some kind of stamina. Wings of eagles are coming to mind, Lord, that Father God, it's going to be a tiring week, and it's going to be a week that, Lord, that is going to be exhausting, and Lord, I'm praying that, Lord, that they would
they would know that everything comes from you, and that, Lord, that you will sustain them through this week, Lord. And that, Father, in those times when they've got that one kid, that little boy, and he's troubled, Lord, that, Father God, that they're going to love him in a way that he's never known. And, Father, there's going to be that little girl who, Lord, she's got some weird questions, and, Lord, they're not sure how to answer, and yet, Lord, you're going to give them the answers, and you're going to bring about people with the answers. And Father, we're going to have stories that are going to break our hearts, and we're going to have stories that are going to bring big smiles. And Father, I'm praying right now, Lord, that you would equip each one of these with an extra measure of peace, patience, and grace. And that, Father God, that you would, Lord, that you would go before us all. And Father, I know that there are those who aren't here this morning. And Father, I ask that you would prepare them where they are at right now. And Father, I know that there are those who, they may not be standing in the middle, but Lord, I know they're standing with us in VBS, and they're going to be praying. And so, Lord, I ask you, Lord, that you would, Lord, that you would touch their hearts in a way that they could pray that, Lord, that we don't even know we need prayer for. And Father, I do thank you so much. I thank you so much for this week that's ahead of us. I thank you, Lord, that we have a risen Savior, that there is an empty tomb, and it's all pointing towards a welcome home. Father, I thank you so much. I pray this all in your Son's name. And we give this week of VBS coming up here, Lord, we give it to you, and only through your Son. Amen. You can have a seat. And I'm going to ask the worship team just to go ahead and come back on up. And as they come up, that we're going to close in a song. I would ask, especially if you've been listening this morning and you've been asking the question, am I redeemed? Am I restored? Do I have this relationship with Christ? And if you don't, I would ask you to seriously listen to the words of the song. It's the last song that we sang before. And it's a song that we sang a lot towards Easter. It's an incredible song. And so I would ask that. And if you, again, if you want to talk about this whole thing and this bridge and this idea of how do I get there, I would love nothing more than to talk to you about that.